pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Declarations of War. I am your host, Alexa F. Card, joined by co-host, Levitain.
And good evening, everyone.
I'm getting this right more often. This is good. Hello, everyone. Once again, with the new format, we're going to jump right into our top stories. The Alliance Tournament is not happening this year, and I do not like this at all. So CCP put out a post saying that, similar to how FanFest isn't running this year, the Alliance Tournament will not be running this year. Now, FanFest has a great excuse. The place that they usually do FanFest is under construction, and there's nowhere even close in Reykjavik to hold all the people that normally go to a FanFest. So they're kind of like, wow, we could have a really, really small FanFest, or we could do this other thing where we make all the EVE gatherings around the world kind of like their own FanFest for 1 year. That's a cool idea. For the Alliance Tournament, there is no real excuse, like the building is under construction, and they are doing, hey, we'll just have tournaments at all the FanFests we go to. But that's not really the same thing, both because people would have to physically be there, and because the Alliance Tournament is a yearly tradition we've always had, the winner of which is like the best alliance in the game, basically. At least, they have a claim to it. So, with that not happening, that's kind of a problem. There are a lot of players, and I mean a lot of players, hundreds. Their main thing that they do in this game is the Alliance Tournament. Flying in it, preparing for it, supporting it, funding it. None of that is happening. Some of these guys are just not going to be playing this year, because why would they at this point? Now, they are allegedly going to bring it back. They're saying, oh, it's just a break for a year. But while I hope that to be the case, you know, we've kind of seen the writing on the wall for the Alliance Tournament in previous years as CCP continues to scale back their community team. And I don't think the chances are too good that it's going to come back. What do you think, Lave?
I just don't know quite how you can axe your centerpiece, your crowning bit of the game, because it's basically our version of, like, not like League of Legends, the Open, for example, or like big tournaments. This is it for
it's
us.
It's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's the EVE Online Super Bowl. I like that. But it's to lose that and then not have a way of supporting or doing, because there are quite a number of organizations, entities, groups on EVE Online who would be quite happy to kind of work with CCP and get and kind of do like unofficial tournaments or, like, you know, say, look, you know, step up and help. But that's not even happening, and I just don't see why.
And the way they phrased it also, kind of a fuck you. And I'm sure it's not even Falcon's fault. But Alliance Tournament 17, an update! Exclamation point! 2019, there's a year we had a lot of interesting plans. We're not ready to talk about them yet, but we'll be getting ready to do so. And, like, the update! Exclamation point is that the Alliance Tournament is not happening this year. Like, what the fuck?
She said, there's a lot of people I know personally who will kind of rearrange their real lives to get the Alliance Tournament going, to get into the teams, to do the practice, the prep work, and, you know, there are certain alliances that will legitimately go dormant for 10 out of 12 months of a year and then come back for the Alliance Tournament.
Yeah, the thing that they're dangling is quality of life improvements, balancing issues, and perhaps new content at some point this year. But especially with how much the community has stepped up to run the Alliance Tournament, particularly the guys over at EVE-NT, for instance. I mean, I know that CCP still puts a lot of resources into it, but not nearly as much as previous years. And how many of those resources are, like, coding entire new features? It's mostly like the community esports team and some guys working on their off time, basically, to make it all happen.
I mean, you can kind of see on one hand the CCP want to try and fix as much of the back end and old bugs staying behind. And, you know, I can't fault that. You can't say that's an incorrect argument. There's plenty of things that need fixing, changing, updating. So that's okay. Well and good as well. But I just, with the amount of support from organizations like EVNT and whatnot, I just don't see why they can't do something or work with the community and get the community, I'm pretty sure, would step up at a moment's notice to help with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let CCP focus on the back end stuff, and we'll wait for this hallowed 64-bit client, which will do nothing, to be fair, but other changes that we can all hope for. But let, you know, give some support out to the players and let them have a crack at it.
Yeah, this feels like when your girlfriend tells you that we're going on a break. You know what I mean? That's code for break up.
And she took the dog.
She took the dog. That's my dog.
My dog.
I love that dog. You don't even like her.
All being aside, I mean, I hope this is not. Part of me is a little bit pessimistic and kind of thinking that things it kind of goes downhill from now. I hope it's not the case. But as you say, there's enough of a fuck you in terms of that initial post and the way it made people feel, just to kind of see that CCP may have indeed lost a step in how it's speaking to its player base and may be a point, maybe a way of how things are going in the future. I hope not. I hope it all continues, but time will tell.
Well, there's a trajectory here, right? An observable trajectory of things being scaled back within EVE. And then there's the Pearl Abyss sale. There's the community. Well, there's the community and getting let go. There's the Pearl Abyss sale. Now the Alliance tournament getting pulled. Like, you can feel the covers being pulled off, so to speak. And it's cold out here, man. And so while I'd love to be optimistic, I don't really see any reason to be at this time. I don't hear anyone talking in those terms. Yin Tan, I think, is more hopeful than I would really expect him to be, but there's no real details that he can point to that I'm aware of. Maybe we'll get more in the CSM minutes that are going to be coming out soon, but it just feels like the game's in its twilight, which is sad. It's just sad. But I don't see any indication that this is like a good development. There's no details about what CCP would be doing instead of the Alliance tournament we wouldn't otherwise get. And I'd love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong, but I just don't have confidence they will actually bring it back in a meaningful way. If they do it at all, it will probably not carry the same level of prestige that it used to.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you never, once they stop it like that, it's never going to hold the same prestige as it would now. But it all is going to depend on how things, what CCP kind of shows that they can do with this year off in the Alliance tournament and what they can fix and what they can change for the game itself. But as you rightly say, there's been a trajectory for the last few months, years leading up to this, and there's a pattern. And we're on the curve has been going down, that we're on a downhill slope. So I hope not. But as I said, the pragmatist in me is a little bit more kind of rueful.
Yay. And part of one of the posts that they made, and as a response, they, Falcon, who again I don't hold accountable for this stuff. He's doing his best with a shit menu, so to speak. He's like a waiter with a shit menu. But he's, you know, talking about, hey, we could love to support the player initiatives, player tournament initiatives that we see the community doing more. Some of those are successful. Yeah, they are, and you should, but that's not the Alliance tournament. It's not this grand title that has this prestige. It's like saying, your local football, like, pickup league's championship is the same as the Super Bowl. It's like not even remotely close. And you can fund that and you can advertise for that, maybe, but it's still not going to make it the Super Bowl. You know, it's not going to be that authoritative title. And also, by pulling this back and pulling the support for the big tournament, as within the greater narrative of EVE's support diminishing generally, and the player base diminishing generally, you're asking those tournament organizers who need to be really enthusiastic and energized about the game to do that kind of stuff, because it's not easy. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of emotion, a lot of investment to create that kind of content, put on those kinds of events, and it's really demotivating as a person who's run one of them to know that, like, well, what am I really doing this for, you know?
I'm pretty sure Animus would be echoing this. Obviously, he has led Alliance tournament teams as well, having an MC and elsewhere.
Yeah, I hope we can get him on for the next episode to give his thoughts, because he's a lot more involved in that than even I've been recently. I've led Alliance tournament teams, but a while ago, I ran an EVE tournament, or not a PvP tournament, but an event that had PvP in it a while ago. I even had an event that I was thinking about running this year. It would have been kind of fun and stuff, but it would have been a fuck ton of work. And I got other shit to do. I got the podcast. I got the corp. I'm going to add this on top of it, and for what? You know, if CCP doesn't care, why should we? Anyway, other stuff to talk about. Sorry, I don't mean to start this thing off with such a bummer. Like, there is a lot of fun stuff happening in EVE. But it all feels in spite of what the company is doing, as opposed to enhanced or furthered by. You know, we're kind of making the best of a bad situation, and we're having fun doing it, but it's still a bad situation.
Yeah. As you say, it feels like things are on autopilot. Speaking of events even on autopilot, so I'm going to be in Shadow Cartel. We are a low-sig alliance based over in Heimatar, which is basically Sisade next to Tanamaki. Great place for PvP, but about 12 days ago, snuffed out big alliance Imperium. Well, they say they're not Imperium, but they are. Moved into Lantorn next door. They jumped in about 100 dreads, multiple small stuff, and supers came soon after. Now they've begun an assault on the low-sec entities here, so they've been reinforcing citadel structures belonging to Siege Green, which is predominantly AU USTZ. As well as Shadow Cartel and other entities in the area, such as Diddy Say Jump. It's been fairly kind of low-key up until the last week or so. Generally speaking, they would hit timers and form heavy kind of battleship fleets with a bit of capital support. And for the first week, we didn't really see much of the supers. So we were getting some decent sub-on-sub with a bit of capital engagements thrown in. And I think New Eden reports, news reports covered on the Battle of Sisade, which was a really heavy cap fight between Siege Green predominantly and Snuffed Out, which over 100 bill was off both sides. So good fights. But unfortunately, when you start having big fights like that, and to be honest, we were winning more than we were losing. Unfortunately, one side begins to drop the hammer. So very recently, we saw the snuffer Titan Menace, if you will, come into play. During an engagement when we were in Shursana, which is in Galente space. We were defending a fort, and we had about 70 subcaps, predominantly max RBS and various support. And Snuff have a similar number. They warp over to our fort, ready to attack. Last time they did this, they dropped Fax to try and help them, as well as having a set of guarding wing. As soon as we engage, Sana comes up and about 30 Titans jump through. And that's pretty much the battle over at that point. For anyone who is new and doesn't know quite what a Titan does, generally they kill everything else.
Yeah, I mean, that puts you point a point on it.
That's just pretty much as simple as it is. They're the pinnacle kind of ship in EVE, and they are so numerous that it effectively comes down to which side has more. And Snuffed as an entity is effectively a nullsec block that lives in lowsec. They have much larger super capital forces than pretty much every entity in the local area combined.
Ooh.
And they have very, very big friends in the Imperium and Initiative, who own pretty much the entire western and southwestern side of the nullsec map.
So look at this long term, you can kind of say that Snuff's decision to join the Imperium, which was pretty controversial at the time, was kind of a long-term strategic gambit. They seem to have grown a lot. They've increased their power in terms of what they can field exponentially. And now they've got big backup, and because they've made friends.
Yeah, and they've increased the numbers as well. They're sizable. Shadow Cartel is a fairly kind of low to mid-sized entity, and so we're much bigger than a lot of the entities around us. But Snuffed are about twice to three times our size.
So that wasn't always the case, was it?
Years ago, it was not always that case, and the equation was somewhat reversed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you guys are more or less equal, with maybe Snuff or maybe Shadow Cartel edging out, depending on what year you were talking about.
Yeah, so as it stands right now, it's effectively been a bit of a war of kind of slow attrition against us. So we've seen supers deployed in at least two fights that I've seen. And the most recent one was when they brought Nightmares in to take on a Tatara in Final Timer. We responded with armor battleships. The Initiative came to help Snuffed out, and they brought in T3Cs, T3 Cruisers, Tengus, Lokis, whatnot. We had a couple of kind of local entities who kind of came, rallied the call. It was a fairly even good fight. And again, they dropped the hammer and about 20 Titans came in. And I think again, there was another fight today, again, where effectively you want to have a good sub fight. And you know that obviously a lot of the entities around here have kind of banded together against a common enemy. Snuff sees that as their justification. So you're back phoning Blues, we're going to drop our biggest weapons. Which is sad.
Yeah, that's...
Because they...
That's like, somebody threw a rock at our tank. Let's open up at them.
Yeah, it's just, you know, most of these entities around here, yeah, it's strange. Like, a lot of the entities in LowSec hate each other, and it's a bit tribal for my liking. You know, if a lot of the LowSec entities here really got their act together and kind of grouped up on a far more often basis, they'd do far more. That's being brutally honest. But in this instance, you know, Snuff comes in, big bullies, whatnot, people kind of going against them. Snuff are calling in Imperium, they've called in Initiative, they called in the Goons today, when kind of they came in on the AUTZ and Siege Green Shadow whatnot, had a really decent sub form up, Snuffed matched it, dropped Titans, and then about 100 Goon frigates appeared the next system in Harpies and lots of electronic attack frigates and whatnot. Stuff that, you know, won't be kind of, you know, a couple of dozen of them, but 100 of them, that's going to tip the balance.
Yeah, I mean, even 100 Harpies can alpha off pretty large ships when you think about it.
E-War frigates, you know, the amount of E-War you can scatter onto a fleet will get you. And the supers are down here now, so they're based kind of either in kind of low in space. They've got access to the Baskurin keep star, which is Baskurin is a pocket low-sec system in Galente space, almost as close to the center of the Eve map as you get. And there's a Freeport keep star there, which is pretty much perma-counted by Ivana. And they also have access to the Hydra keep star in Amamaki, which is fairly limited access. So they've got places to stash their supers. And unfortunately, they have more dreads than everyone else. So it's fortunately, we're losing kind of structures as you would, because, you know, you form up big and they just decide to say, no, we're not having the fight, and then get really salty and local. But at the same time, it's for nothing, because one of the things that you have to understand in a low sec, if you are based in low sec, is that you can never really be truly defeated if you've got an NPC station. You know, unless the measure of your victory is super carriers and titans and having actual structures, you just move all your stuff to NPC stations and laugh at them. You can't camp. You can't camp those stations for indefinitely, and you can't camp them effectively. So it kind of feels like people are going through the motions. Like going back to the earlier point of Eve, that it's fights for the sake of fights, but it's not really got any kind of major impetus behind it. You don't see half as much of the smoke posting and local from these guys when they drop their Titans, because to be honest, I think they're a bit embarrassed. It's like, we're having an even sub fight, you're starting to win, oh fuck, we'll just drop Titans, and then you don't see any of them kind of giving you smack talk and local and all, because, you know, what's the point, guys? You know, we can't have a fight now.
Yeah.
And then you take to Reddit and then complain about everyone, like, blue-balling you and then back-phoning you. It's like, make your mind up.
You made your own bed in that case.
So
that's the nature of you. People don't. Most people will not take uncertain fights if they don't have to.
Yeah, and there's an age-old saying in Eve that if you're in a fair fight, you've done something wrong. And it's pretty fair. And Shadow, we're a pirate organization. We'll quite happily gank on people. We were ganking people with thrashes today. Sorry to the several battleships who died. Not sorry. But yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Shadow Cartel's recruiting. But to be honest, at the end of the day, in these kind of larger engagements as well, when one side wants to come and make a message, but is also wanting to have a good fight as well, you know, don't nuke the content of it, because you are the problem at that point. And I think it's indicative of the problem of E right now, of super capital proliferation. Now, 2 years ago, and back just kind of end to close this particular section. 2 years ago, I think maybe a year ago, maybe more, there was the big fights in the north, and this is over X-47. This was the, you know, the keep stars belonging to Northern Coalition, various allies, versus the Imperium, which was Test Initiative, Goonswarm, snuffed out, whatnot. And to put it into perspective, you had entire fleets. This is 256 people, full of Titans, multiple fleets of Titans. That number has not gone down. That number has grown up exponentially, and the force that those entities can have with that amount of number just crushes everything. There's no countermeasure. There's no force multiplier you can use against them. And so
it's to the point that even a Keepstar, we've seen this tactic be employed. You just put your fleet in the field. It doesn't matter how many they kill. You just keep shooting it. It will eventually die.
So I think if you wanted to fix that, big change would happen. But I think in relation to our earlier point about the trajectory of the game right now, I'm not confident. But as I say, I think that even if Snuff knock over all of our sandcastles, the fact that we can all legitimately just move onto an NPC station and continue to be pirates, continue to enjoy the game we have, and just give them a giant middle finger, no, I can live with that.
Well, you may have to for a short while, but they can't camp you forever, like you said. So
you can't, it's not like 0-0, you can't bubble camp a LOSAC station, so caps can just undock and jump out. Subs, just use an insta-warp, off you go.
Yeah, so just move somewhere else and start hunting there.
Yeah, that easy.
There's a Fortizar in Providence you can use.
I did mention that once. Just before Snuff and Dow, we were kind of thinking, the area around here has got a bit dead, and then Snuff moved down, and suddenly everything's a bit more active again. But when you start seeing Revenants warping around, like, uncontested, knowing that you can't drop on a Revenant, this is a Sansha supercarrier, which ordinarily would be like a magnet to everyone else, and you know you can't drop on it because there is a massive, massive counterforce waiting for you. It's like being in Delve.
Yeah, kind of. Well, speaking of Nullsec blocks, on the other side of the south, we've got this war brewing, I think it's pretty much in full swing, between Skill Yourself and Legacy, which is now expanded to include Scourge and Fraternity. Scourge has essentially disbanded due to pressure. They were kind of inactive. I think their leadership was inactive. They weren't super organized toward the end there. And the Laughing Buddha Coalition, which is the coalition of small alliances and Scalding Pass, was just entosis-ing them mercilessly night after night after night. Yeah. The LBC. They're cool dudes. Most of them, anyway.
I'm surprised about Scourge. They seem competent at their day.
Oh, they were a fire that burned Scalding Pass and part of Great Wildlands pretty harshly for a while. To be honest, I wish I had better information about what the problems were internally, but I think leadership went AFK. I think maybe they took space and got a little bit of the crab syndrome, and they just weren't the PvP force that they used to be for like a good month and a half. I guess they just decided to pull the plug before things got worse. About half of their members sort of scattered to the winds, about the other half joined Skill You. So now Skilyu has essentially picked up the war in Scalding Pass on Scourge's behalf. While that's going on, they're still fighting another war in, like, Wicked Creek and Immensee, which is a little bit further south and a little bit further west, and that's against Legacy. Legacy, for their part, is like, well, we also want to fight Fraternity. This Fraternity is fighting Brightside of Death, who is fighting Scourge and Skilyu. And the DRF was like, ah, my Russian brothers. Brightside of Death. We must liberate the Russian people. So now they have moved down. And I believe their ultimate goal is probably to retake some of their traditionally held regions in the south, which Skilyu and Frat have sort of, by inheriting Tri-Space and expanding their influence, respectively, have basically taken up occupancy of. So they see this opportunity to join with Legacy to kind of push the numbers advantage and get rid of Skilyu out of the area and absolutely crush Frat, who they kind of owe. Frat backed Tri in that war and profited nicely from it, and it was at their expense. And in true Eve fashion, it's payback time. Now, I don't know for certain about the wars in the more southern regions, like Wicked Creek, Scalding area, Wicked Creek, Immensee area, but the war in Scalding Pass is still mostly a subcap war. You'll see caps dropped occasionally, but they're in pretty small numbers. It's a lot of Entosis-ing back and forth, it's a lot of Macarial fleets. No Supers and Titans yet, but I suspect with Legacy getting involved, you'll probably see at least some of that, maybe in the more southern areas of the war. And we'll see if Fraternity and Skilyu decide to respond. Both of them do have significant capital fleets, but at the same time, they're at a pretty sharp numbers disadvantage against Legacy, not to mention Legacy and DRF at the same time. So I don't know. They may elect to avoid committing just because of the odds against them. In that case, we probably will not see major capital and super capital brawls. I don't really have a hard prediction. I would say if I was in Fraternity shoes, I'd probably elect to conserve my super capital forces and not commit them, because just numbers-wise, there's really no way they could stand against Legacy for long. They're just totally outmatched. Especially with Skilyu, I mean, Skilyu is a really, really good PvP alliance. And with the numbers they got from Scourge, that's good. But Legacy's still, like, between Legacy and the Imperium, those are the two largest coalitions in the game by far. When they're together, they're a super coalition. And Fraternities and Skilyu are just kind of, like, standing there. Fraternity's got a little bit of numbers, but not really quality pilots. And they have some number of those numbers are bots and ISK farmers. And then there's Skilyu, which have really high quality pilots, but not tons of numbers. And how well can their skill carry against such a massive blob? That's the ultimate question.
That's it, isn't it? You know, when you have so many kind of pinnacle ships, skill basically counts for nothing.
And yeah, that's the thing. If Legacy really does decide to get serious and brings their super fleet to bear, I mean, to your point earlier, there's really no counterplay there. It just is that shit. So we'll see how this war plays out. It might wind up being a very short war if Fraternity just up and decides to not fight. If Fraternity stands with Skilyu, it could get interesting. But we'll see. Lee, Burnjita?
Yep. Obviously, at the day of recording, which is the 23rd of February, Burnjita has begun. Burnjita is an annual event initially started off by, I think Dune started this thing, to be fair,
yeah,
several years ago. And it's been an annual tradition whereby, for a set time, usually a weekend or a week perhaps, lots of null entities such as Imperium, Goonswarm, Frick, Essential, but others as well, will descend upon Jita and basically embark on a campaign of mass suicide ganking. So, if you're flying a freighter, or a DST, a deep space transporter, or any kind of capital ship such as an Orca, or a Bowhead, or a jump freighter if you're crazy, and to be fair, anything over there, and you see a large amount of catalysts, or coercers, or thrashers near you, You may wish to run or say a prayer.
Yeah, it's not going to be a good day for you.
Yeah, do you think day one we've seen over 200 billion of stuff lost? If the Reddit threat Reddit's to be believed, and to be fair, it's got lots of links to various kill mails, people losing freighters, so I'm obviously losing large amounts of stuff, jump freighters, bowheads going down, you name it, and other stuff as well. So, what can you do in Burn Jeeta if Burn Jeeta is on? Well, to be quite honest, don't send freighters into Jeeta. You're going to get ganked.
Hop in a thrasher of your own and get in on the fun.
Yeah, get in. Hop in a thrasher, get in there, and you know, you might get a few kill marks, but you're going to get a couple of bill of kill mails very, very quickly. Or if you want to be anti-pirate, you could try. I think Noir did this several years ago, whereby,
oh yeah,
where you could form a force perhaps and go and chase these guys around system. Remember, Jeeta doesn't have any citadels in it, so they all have to be in space somewhere, and you can chase them off. You can be in a ship when everyone goes suspect and whore on all of the males. So whore by, as in, like, use a module on them so you get on the kill mail.
Yeah, the counter Burn Jeeta contracts were some of the funnest things we did. We would form fleets designed to do three things, mainly. One, assist dropping suicide gaggers before they got second shots off, if they were running fleets that did that. But that was not that common. A more common thing was run fleets to frustrate their ability to kill the freighters, so stuff that reps the freighters and shoots them. And the most fun thing, I think, was catch them while they were prepping. So if they were, like, replacing ships at a safe spot or something, probe those down, drop on top of them, and kill the gank fleet, which was still suspect but not concordant. Just wipe those guys out before they even got onto field to shoot the freighters. And we would kill hundreds of ships. It was so much fun. Now, tons of freighters still died, but, you know, we didn't really care about that. We were in for the kills, maybe. The kills and the frustration cost. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of cat and mouse play. I remember, I think it was the second or third time, goons actually had to put counter fleets for us on field as well to just prevent us from fucking around with their reshipping operations. So they'd actually have legit tackle and anti-skirmish ships running around, not ganking freighters, basically just looking for us and making sure that when we warped onto their fleets, we got chased off really quickly. So it was a lot of fun. But I miss doing that stuff. Just didn't have the time for it this year, and obviously retired from the Merc game.
Aye, the black market still lives.
It does. That's my host highlight, which we'll get into in a second. But first, I want to talk about our sponsor, Eve Onion. EveOnion.com. Currently running some very interesting stories about why the Vexor Navy issue police skin was not released as planned. I'm very, very sad about that. It looked like a wonderful skin. I'm sure a lot of crabs would have dropped their hard-earned cash on the Vexor Navy police issue, but it is not to be. For the exclusive story, tune into EveOnion.com. Oh. Eve Onion, we break the news of Eve Online.
Ah, we have a latecomer.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit! Artemis! Oh, we can't hear you, Art. Come to me. Yeah, as far as the host highlight, we have Artemis here. He's fixing his microphone. My host highlights and shoutouts will have to do with the stuff we've been doing in Providence. Host highlight, honestly, had a really great group meeting. We talked about a lot of stuff, including Provi, some future Alliance direction stuff, and just the Corp being a little more self-sufficient, and I really got to give a shout out to Night Jester being back. He populated the 9UY market. It is now fully operational and stocked. It is glorious. And he also managed to export about 11 billion worth of minerals we were sitting on for weeks on end because I just didn't have the hauling capacity to get it out. So much love, Jester. And we'll let you know if anything comes of the things that we discussed in that Corp meeting over the course of the next couple episodes. Artemis, how are you?
I'd like to file a complaint with my phone for having the quietest alarm sounds ever, apparently.
Oh, I'm with you. I overslept what would have been, but turned out not to be a really good 4-star fight this morning. Just because my alarm was shit.
So, I apologize to the listeners for my morning voice, but I am here. And my host highlight actually comes from back when I was still in the network. We were fighting in Scalding Pass. It was a reinforcement op. So the dudes from Whiskey, my other lab is a distillery, wanted to go reinforce a bunch of structures. And some of them were timers, some of them were initial Rios. And some of the, what are they called, Kanoko, part of Kaldari Armed Forces, showed up. And in particular, it was this one dude called Nina, who multi-boxes, like 10 accounts. But they were all in Punishers with autocannons, and then some Vexers and a Brutix and a Merm. But of course, we were all just in Bombers. And so initially, it was sort of this dance of we couldn't fight them, but they couldn't catch us. So it was sort of bouncing around the grid, trying to keep damage on the structures that we were trying to reinforce, and then trying to not die or get caught. Before that, we had lost a couple of Bombers, actually, to Scourge, who had brought in some, like, nano-nonsense. They brought in an Orthrus, what was it, a Hecate that we actually managed to catch and kill, so that was fun. But there was just, the multi-boxer had too much that we thought we could handle. And so finally, what we decided to do is I just warped my rapier onto zero of the entire enemy fleet, because we Z-killed all of their characters, figured out their fits, realized the Punishers were autocannon and artillery fit, and that the Vexers were using T1 Meta-Zero drones. So we went in, I warped to zero, I just face-tanked the entire fleet while we killed them all. And we finally, like, we killed the last ship that had Scram on me. As I was out of Ancil shield booster charges on my rapier, I was out of heat on my invuln, and I was in 10% shields, and I was able to warp out. It was fantastic.
And if you would like to see that fight, it is on my YouTube channel and Twitch channel.
I didn't.
You did kind of bury the lead there, Art, in that most of our audience doesn't know that you left the network.
Oh, yeah. I left the network. I have plans. I have ideas. I need to ask.
Are they good?
Well, it's all in the eye of the beholder. And so I've joined Pandemic Horde. I'm going to gain some institutional knowledge. I'm going to make a lot of ISK. And of course, like, I couldn't go and join some renter alliance somewhere, because even though my main purpose here is to get ISK, I can't help myself. Sometimes you just get that PvP itch and you need to go and kill some things. And so I had to go and join a PvP alliance. So Horde it is. I'm in Pandemic Horde. I have gone on a couple fleets so far. It's pretty interesting. It's not as spurgy as I was expecting. Like, Mumble is fantastic, where they have quiet channels and command channels and everything. So I just sort of slide into the quiet channel, and all I hear is the FC, and it's great. Or I fly Logi, and Logi bros are best bros and don't spurg on comms. So shout out to all the Logi bros out there who have comms discipline.
I would just say that I've had a couple of fleets. This is back in the MC days when Horde came on. And I've got to back you up on that one. When the times of the Horde run fleet, their comms discipline was impeccable. And to people like myself who don't like to hear lots of smack talk, who will FC on occasion, it's really good to see people actually knowing what comms discipline actually is. And if people think that's not a great thing, then I'd advise you to go on fleets where you've got really bad discipline and really good discipline. The difference is night and day, and you just work better. Also, I was completely surprised you left the network, but yeah, fair dues.
I miss him a lot. Artemis, I really enjoyed flying with him in the late nights. You know, the duo fleets we get in together have been really fun, so hopefully you'll still have time to do some of that with us. It's just not the same without you, buddy.
Can we have our next vote being what we can pick Animus' new alarm tone to be?
Please. Like, I need something like obnoxious and loud, and I need to find a workaround on my phone because it just stops playing the alarm after a certain period of time, I think. So I need to figure out how to fix that, too.
There you go. That's next week's poll.
Yes, alarm recommendations. But did Lave give a host highlight before I showed up, or are we still waiting on him?
It will be my
go for it, Lave.
Yep, I mean, as I was saying earlier, obviously we've been having lots of fights with Snuff. On the first fight that we had in Shusana, where they didn't drop supers, which was quite funny, it was a fight, we were defending the armor timer of our Fortizar, and they came in with their battleships. We had our battleships as well, and in terms of numbers, it's about kind of 60 to 70 kind of guys on our side. Obviously, a similar number on their side. They're on the fort, so they drop about 5 facs in total to try and stabilize their fleet. I was dual boxing Megases. Megases are command destroyers, and to be fair, I think the Megas is probably my favorite. It's the best balance of lot. And I managed to do no less than 9 chain jumps, all of them direct hits through their fleet, and just was jumping their guardians off and jumping their DPS off and just having a load of fun. And they couldn't seem to stop me.
You said something in Noir Alumni Discord about a UFO jump. What is this?
So the UFO jump is a bit of a term. So to do that, we just need to just quickly go through what a chain boosh is. Now, a boosh is when a command destroyer uses its micro jump field, which, for people who are not familiar, is a module that is specific to the command destroyer line of ships. So that's the Magus, the Pontifex, the Bifrost, and the Stork. When activated, this module has a spool up of a base of 10 seconds, but you can reduce it to about 5 seconds with max skills. When it activates, assuming that you are not scrammed, you will jump everyone within 5 kilometers of your ship. So that's a 5-kilometer radius of your ship, 100 kilometers in a certain in the direction that your ship is currently facing. So in a chain boosh, 2 or more command destroyers would, in formation, aligned to the same point, activate their command bursts. Therefore, you jump twice, for example. So you'll jump 100, then 100 again. Now, if you jump onto an enemy fleet, so let's say you are 103 or so kilometers away from any fleet, 100 kilometers, and you chain boost through them, you'll teleport into the group, then teleport away, but taking everyone that was within 5 kilometers of your second destroyer with you. This is really effective versus guardians who need to maintain range, because if they're jumped 100 kilometers off their DPS, they can't rep anymore. They can chain each other, but the DPS can't receive any reps.
And most guardians tend to be very slow, so they're easy to target for this kind of maneuver.
Yep, they tend to be AB, doing about 500 to 600 meters a second, so they are quite easy to hit. You can also jump the DPS off, and this is where the UFO comes in. So this is a bit of a reverse formation. It's a bit more difficult, but it essentially is an abduction. So in the fleet that we had a couple of days ago, Snuff were running Nightmares. Now, Nightmares are a lot harder to chain burst boost through than Mercurials, given the fact that Nightmares are Sancha battleships that have an afterburner bonus. So they will typically run with their afterburners hot all the going all the time, and will do anywhere from 800 to 1,000 meters a second, depending on links and the meta level of the afterburner. So it's a bit difficult to try and get a Magus on them, but you can do it. Nightmares are also a kite fleet. They don't like being close to armor battleships. So a Nightmare fleet doesn't want to be enclosed because tachyon lasers, which are the principal weapon system of a Nightmare, even though the Nightmare has a tracking bonus, if the Nightmare is too close, it will not hit anything. So these guys will basically run away, kind of move away from your fleet, but dealing insane damage as you are. So this brings me on to the UFO. What I did was here, I positioned the destroyers about 5 kilometers apart, had the rear destroyer boost towards the enemy fleet, and had the forward destroyer boost towards my own fleet. So what happened here was that the destroyers teleported into the enemy formation, then almost teleported back on themselves and put the enemy fleet now in range of our armor battleships.
Wow.
And this actually led to Snuff actually having to warp out of the field because their FC got abducted. They lost about 5 or 6 nightmares in about that minute that things were happening and everyone just warped off. And Initiative had to kind of hold the field with their Kaiti cruisers at that time.
The crazy thing about this to me is a subtle point that you didn't mention, which is that when you click that boost module or when you click any MJD module, your velocity vector is set. So
it's
you're
locked.
Moving, you're locked to your max speed, or at least you accelerate towards it, and you can't change direction yourself. You can be bumped, but wherever you were aiming, that's where you're going. So not only do you have to be going in one direction the right way, you have to be going in the other direction the right way. And the way double booshing, like spear fishing, usually works is you would have the second boosher keep at range on the first one, so you know that those angles are correct. But in this one, you're going at 2 completely different angles, and they have to be perfect, and these guys are moving in opposite directions. So if they get those angles wrong, it's just not going to work. That is nuts. I have one quick question. Back near the beginning of World War B, when Boosh modules first came out, they were a huge deal, and like all of low-sec doctrine fittings and the meta changed because of it. So we were flying Logi Legions, we were flying Scram Chains in our Macarials, and that's why you began to see ECM bursts put onto boost ships. So you could fly in ECM burst, break that Scram Chain, and then go out. Have groups just decided, you know what, there's nothing we can do to prevent the boosh, even with crazy convoluted nonsense like that. So we're just going to let the boosh happen and do our best to deal with it. Like, it seems like there are no countermeasures being put in place anymore.
The boosh is difficult to counter. And one major advantage here is that these are happening on friendly structures. What this means is that the booshers can sit in tether. So they cannot be locked. They can set up. So on these occasions, my Megases were separate from the main fleet and they can sit under tether, which means that I can't be shot by you. Now, if once I start spool, I can be locked. I break tether. But they actually started running their guardians on 2 anchors. This is like 2 groups, if you will. And they put devoters or other hicks next to them. These are the ships that you typically have in a fleet formation used for scrambling command destroyers. They'll usually be sensor boosted with infinite scrams. These are the focus scram modules. So if you scram a boosher before its boosh cycles, it doesn't happen and it kind of sits there and dies. But even then, with the chain booshing we were getting, they couldn't stop it. And I think they tackled one of my Megases on 3 occasions. And I think one of them died because I got unlucky and I think loads of target payers hit me and then the Macarials were there and they were all kind of Macarials and then a bright light happened. The other 2 happened times, well, my Megas was triple prop. So micro warp drive, an afterburner, and an MJD. So I put on my afterburner and peaced out. With the hick completely unable to do anything.
That's crazy. Nice.
Artemis, while you're here, something we were talking about earlier that we really wanted to get your thoughts on, and we'll do that before we close with shoutouts. The Alliance Tournament shutdown. Lave and I spoke at length, but you're very involved with this kind of theory crafting and all the support that goes into the Alliance Tournament. And you're also quite networked with your other show, Talking in Stations. What's your thoughts here, and how is the community taking this?
It is my opinion that the community is taking this worse than we should be. So right after it happened, Talking in Stations, we had Matterall do an interview. He had Elise Randolph, longtime tournament guru, if you will, and he had CCP Falcon, and they just sort of sat down and chatted about it. And CCP Falcon did something fantastic that I really like, and he just said, "Hey guys, listen, I'm not going to be here saying, hey, whoa, don't shoot the messenger. I was a key stakeholder in making this decision. So if you're unhappy with this decision, come at me, bro. That was fantastic.
I take back my earlier comments excusing him from this mess.
He 100% is like, yo, this decision, big part of that was me. And so that was cool. But the other thing he said is, this is 100% not the Alliance tournament is going away. The Alliance tournament is going back. And he went through the myriad of reasons, some of which the community brought up, some of which the community hadn't even talked about yet, of why the Alliance tournament is important to EVE Online from a development point of view and from a player point of view, the community as well. So I am 100% on board with the idea that the AT is coming back next year. As for it taking a break this year, I think he gave some good arguments as to the community team just being overwhelmed. I think there are some good arguments to be made that, well, if you hadn't have cut the community team, they would have more members to be able to throw at the Alliance tournament while doing all the other jobs. But that's business side of things that I frankly don't think we're in a place to talk about. As far as whether this is good or bad, going away from whether it's necessary, if the rules change significantly, I think it'll be fantastic. That's one of the things that was talked about, is he said basically because we have time to take a step back and look at the AT from the ground up, we can look and see some major changes, especially because with the going away of EVEbet, with the going away of betting on the tournament, it seemed to have gotten pretty stale. Certainly community interest had gone away, viewership numbers were down. The Alliance tournament was sort of going down in terms of how much the community was a fan of it. People had become alienated, if you will. And so I think if we get a good rule change, if things become more interesting, especially from a theory crafting point of view, new rules are super fun as much as they are incredibly obnoxious because you have to start from scratch. But cautiously optimistic. I think it was a necessary change. I think I'm cautiously optimistic that it was a good decision.
Yeah, that's cool. Fair. I mean, I think it kind of varied. Like, myself and Alec may have seen more of the kind of the pessimistic side of things, but I can fully get that you kind of have to play the long game on this. I suppose it's the case of where the long game takes us. But you know, I honestly hope your version of things just turns out more than Art's version.
Yeah, I guess it ultimately comes down to I just don't have a lot of faith in the long-term game, period, right now. I don't think EVE's been on an upward trajectory at the moment, and it hasn't been for a while, both at the player base level, the corporate level. CCP is not in a healthy place, the game's not in a healthy place, the player base isn't in a healthy place, and there's no signs that things are going to get better that I can see. Till I do, saying, oh, just trust in the long game, or, yeah, this commitment that's at least a year out will definitely come through, is kind of hard to really take at face value.
The one counter argument I can give is that of corporate greed. The community of EVE Online is old, and it's wealthy, and that is, like, really, really, really good from a corporate greed point of view. So I have no doubt that EVE in some form will be continuing for years upon years upon years, at least as long as the community doesn't get super freaking angry and rage quit. But it is my opinion that CCP will do the most that they can to ensure that they keep an aging and an increasing in wealth community hooked on this game for the purpose of monetization. And I think that they're going to use EVE as a cash cow to fund other CCP projects, which is what we've seen in the past. But I suspect it's going to continue even more in the future with the acquisition by Pearl Abyss. Like you saw even in the deals, like the majority of the cash towards the price for CCP games is based on monetary goals, based on monetization goals. So I think Hilmar, the way he's talked about EVE forever, that is 100%, like, in my twisted point of view, a corporate greed. EVE is a cash cow. they're going to keep that cow as healthy as possible. So I think because of that, whether or not their vision is good for the game, whether or not the changes they make are good for the game, they're trying their best. Their motivation is just different from what that of the player base is.
You need to get a lot of value out of the cow when you slaughter it, right? Just saying.
Yeah, but can you do that with a game, though? Like, if you kill Eve, what value do you get?
It really depends on the manner in which they do it. I can easily foresee a future, and most companies do this, which is why I can easily foresee it, where the quest for endless monetization winds up being the means that Eve is slowly but surely killed off.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And they just extract as much money as they can before it goes.
That's what I expect to happen. But I think that keeping the AT coming back is a good way to continue to extract monetization. Like, I 100% expect that the corporate greed will kill Eve, but the corporate greed will mean that Eve won't shut down in the near term.
Yeah, I mean, they could keep the servers running for a while, but, you know, at some point it will not be worth playing. A sunk cost fallacy can only go so far. Again, I don't mean to say that that's what I'm hoping for. I strongly don't hope for that, but that's kind of the way it feels like it's been going for at least, what, 2 years now? It's a little depressing.
Yeah. I mean, there is a certain extent to which it's become less and less worth playing for people with our playstyle. For people with other playstyles, it's become more and more worth playing. If you're an explorer type, if you're an industry type, if you're an empire builder, if you're basically anything but an elite PvPer, Eve has become fantastic. Like, just continuously getting better and better and better, barring a few, like, community-related hiccups along the way. And I think that's CCP's way of aligning the player base's interest with their own interest, right? If they want the game to be a long-term cash cow, they need the players to be thinking in terms of the long term. And elite PvPers, solo PvPers, sort of the elitist quote-unquote groups, don't necessarily think that way. They think about the next fight. They think about the big adrenaline rush. And that is something which you get an itch, you scratch the itch, you go away. Whereas the industry players, the explorers, if there's new content, they'll continue to come for the new content. If there is long-term profitability, if there is a decision to be made that they have to keep doing something, keep logging into updating their PI, keep changing their jobs, keep doing whatever, check on the markets, they're thinking in the long term, and they're going to keep playing in the long term, and that's what CCP wants. So I think it's just a matter of our gameplay is less viable in terms of CCP's long-term EVE cash cow model, and so that's why it has been getting worse. And a lot of players have been changing their play style, so I don't think it's going to be getting any better for us.
That's a fair assessment. Let's close it out with some shout-outs. I want to give a big shout-out to the Dolphins. They've been way more active with the Alliance in the past 2 months, and it's definitely shown. And it's shown in terms of our results. So I'm really happy to have them like fully engaged, fully turned on, using their mining and hauling and industrial experience to benefit the network. It's been going pretty well. So props to Rupa and all those guys, and looking forward to more mining ops with them in the future. I also want to give a shout out to, oh, I don't know if I can pronounce this, Cider from Clever Use of Neutral Tunes, and Andrew Harwood of the Rogue Consortium and their fleet for chasing off a pack of CVA hooligans from the black market. CVA tried to reinforce the black market a third time, unsuccessfully. As with the previous two attempts, they didn't even get to the first timer. In this case, the very, very tiny fleet from these stalwart Providence PvPers got on field and extracted over $1 billion in kills from these guys with... Honestly, I looked at the kill report, and it's like a handful of roaming ships, some caracals versus battleships and gilas, and they're just getting kill after kill after kill.
It's a very interesting battle report to look at and be like, wow, how did they pull that off? So props to those guys, and thank you for the community coming to assist the defense of the station. It's creating great content, both directly and indirectly, which is really interesting to see. Late.
My shout out is going to go to obviously the low-sec entities who've been with us on the various feeds recently. Nice to see the area be more active. Nice to just generally see more activity in the area. Hope it continues as we fight the dark side.
Arty party.
I want to give one final shout out to the network and the Capitalist Army. You guys were fantastic while I was there. Even though I'm leaving to make ISK, like, there are plenty of opportunities to make ISK at the Capitalist Army, but there are also way more PvP opportunities and way more deployment opportunities for me to be able to focus on making ISK. So this is very much not a, I'm leaving CANS, I'm leaving the network because I no longer want to be in the network type thing. It's more of, I need a shift in focus. And so it's not a me leaving MC, me leaving Noir situation. It's a, I need to do something else right now. But CANS is still awesome. The network is still awesome. You guys have a great group of guys, a fantastic leader. They're continuing to do awesome stuff. So shout out to you guys.
And I look forward to, you know, just because you're in Horde doesn't mean we can't fly together. So I'm still looking forward to our fleets and looking forward to what you do with that big IS pile you're working on.
I am constantly getting escalations into Great Wildlands still. Like, he wants me to go back to GW.
Alright, that's it, guys. Head to declarationsward.com to participate in this show's poll. We are recruiting. We need someone to replace Artemis, obviously. If anyone out there feels like you could, please hit up Capitalist Chat in-game, Capitalist Space Chat. We're looking for EU and US players. Right now, our EU time zone is really active with some high-quality guys. US time zone, honest, I'm getting a little lonely. So, especially if you're on the West Coast of the United States or Hawaii or in Asia, we'd love to hear from you. And with that, wherever you are in the world, good hunting, listeners.